I want to talk to you about how you can face 2010 and not have it become just another year. Most of you would probably admit that as the old year drew to a close, you said to yourself, well, I know one thing, I'll never do that again. And I'm going to pledge that I will drop 30 pounds. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And by the time you're done, you have this long list of going to do. And you never got it done last year. So another year probably will not make all that much difference. We are imperfect people. We have flaws. We have character traits in our life that unless Jesus would stand in our place, not a person here would be saved. So I thank God for Jesus Christ. I want to make a statement as I begin this morning. I want you to think careful as I make the statement to you. What we believe helps determine how we behave. Let me say it again. What we believe determines how we behave. We show our trust when we translate our learning into our living. In Romans chapter 12, we find a division of three separate entities. Chapter 12, 1 through 4, Paul talks about our obligation. In fact, let me show you what I put on the front of my note late last night as the Holy Spirit impressed me. And maybe it would be good to begin there. Take your Bible and turn to Romans chapter 11. The last verse of Romans chapter 11. And I believe it is verse 36. For of him, notice, of him and what? Through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. What Paul does is he divides these three aspects up. Of him, verses 1 through 4. Through him, spiritual gifts are given, verses 5 through 9. Verses 10 through 21, to him we live together as those who are saved to serve. And I love that. Of him, to him, through him. We serve the Lord. The greatest problem in the Adventist church today often is inner relationships. They break down because of a lack of honesty, a lack of sincerity, and our relationships break down. The reason we experience people flow has to do with these relationships. While attending a pastor's meeting one day, I talked with a pastor who pastors Primeville. How many of you have heard of Primeville? He told me about one of his churches in Colorado that at one time had, listen to this, 150 people attending. They now, listen, they now have 8 to 10 people in the church. They once had 150 people. What happened? I asked. His response was amazing. A movement began in the church to cleanse it from impure influences. And one individual said, we need to point out sin in the church. So pointed out they did, and all the sinners left. And the only ones left were the ones who spent their time encouraging each other to stay holy. Here's my point. The church, when it focuses on the failures of each other, has no time to reach lost people. Furthermore, I want you to hear this. We become a graceless group, spending our time focusing on each other's false. I'm going to talk to you in the future about spiritual gifts in this church. But before we do that, we're going to have a leadership seminar in January. A weekend talking to you about how to build a leader. I've done it for 32 years. How do you build leaders? Why? Because Jesus did not just build followers. He built 12 leaders. Not just followers. I told my friend as we talked more that we need a fresh view of God's grace. Would you agree with that? To be totally in love with the Lord to the extent that we put Him first in our lives, and the church will not be just a place to visit once a week. But it will be the presence of the saved. Oh, that's good. Amen. In 1 John 4:20, we read, "If anyone says, 'I love God,' and yet hates his brother, he is what? He's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen." Does that sound reasonable to you? 1 John 4:21, "And he's given us this command that whoever loves God must love his brother." We need love. Listen to this. It was in Reader's Digest. When asked, "Do you think any of us really want deep down to be loved?" Garrison Keller responded, "No. We simply want to be rich. We want to be admired. We want to eat like a horse and be as skinny as a snake. To have small children ask for our autographs. To be on the terrific medications that make us calm and witty and sexy. To sing Irving Berlin and Gershwin and Porter at the Okrum. And to be described in the Times magazine as luminous. But in the absence of all that, it's enough to be loved." We want to be loved. There is a crying today to be loved in the church. People want to be loved. And in Romans chapter 12, we have, as I mentioned, these three sections in Romans chapter 12. And one of the main obstacles that I have seen in growing a church has to do with people flow. We cannot stop everyone from leaving us, but we can serve those who are here, listen to this, and teach them how to love and serve themselves, to be servers. So this morning I want to look at 10 impact statements. That I believe if you put these on your refrigerator door and you watch them, I'm telling you, they will change your life. I like this. This is kind of nice. It gives me a little cubicle here. You know. So here we are. Romans chapter 12. Take out your Bible and turn with me. We're going to begin in verse 9. What verse? Verse 9, I want you to hear what the Bible has to say in Romans chapter 12, verse 9. "But love must be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good." And here's my PowerPoint for you. Be sincere and real. Write it in your notes. Be sincere and real. The real deal. You know, you can fool some people with a smile. Well, those closest to you know who you are. You can't fool people, at least only so long. I read this article in Woman's Day magazine. Oh, yes, I read that once in a while. In Tulsa, Oklahoma, suspected shoplifter Jacob Wise, what was his last name? Why? Oh, don't miss that. Jacob Wise, 18, had cleverly removed security tags from the clothes he was allegedly stealing from a store. I like the word they say allegedly. That's really interesting. But the alarm went off anyway as Wise strolled through the exit door. It seems he had merely put the removed tags in his pocket. Well, it wasn't a wise thing to do. There are people in the church that, I'm being honest with you, are not real. We put on a nice suit, a nice tie, and we have a smile, and we walk up to a brother, and we say, "How are you? We're so glad to have you here." And then later on, we might have him for lunch. He'd make a great entree. So you have to be real. In James chapter 3, we read the following. I think I have an observation first. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil, cling to what is good. So I have it. Be sincere and be real. Avoid hypocrisy. Avoid hypocrisy. And in Bible times, if you were in an act on a stage modeling, you would be giving a ceramic mask on a handle. And when you played the part, you could put the mask up and pull it down. You were playing someone else's part. It's called hypocrisy, putting on a mask. So you avoid hypocrisy. How do you do that? You're real. You're the real thing. People meet you and they say, you know, have you met Billy? I'm telling you, Billy's a great guy. Man, he's tremendous. You know, this guy is trustworthy. He is honest as the what? As the day is long. Acts 2:46, the Bible says, they continued to meet together in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. That's the early church. They had this glue which brought them together. They had love. They had honesty. They had sincerity. They actually loved each other. They really cared. James 3 adds this. I want you to catch this. James 3, chapter 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. In other words, you are not living the truth. Next verse. This wisdom does not descend from above. It is earthly, it's sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and envy, evil things are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first what? Say it with me. Pure and then peaceable, gentle. And then the last part is really good. Willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without, say it with me, without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. We would say he's a real deal. This past week I discovered that Jim Kress, ministerial director for North America Division, passed away Thanksgiving Day from some kind of sickness. I knew both David and Jim when I was pastoring in Florida. And they were good boys. Good guys. David lost his life in a plane crash along with most of Georgia Cumberland's leadership at the time. And Jim fell asleep in the Lord. And there's one thing about Jim. He was an honest guy. No hypocrisy. Can you see, brothers and sisters, how if we live honestly with each other, the church can grow? Okay, number two, treat others with brotherly love. Verse 10. I like this one. This is really good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. Kindly affectionate with brotherly love. I know we ought to be careful about how we show our emotions to each other. Men, do not hug ladies with a face-forward hug with two arms around their neck. Do not do that. I don't need to tell you that, right? And girls, if a guy does that, well, I won't tell you what to do, but you know what to do. I'm talking about brotherly love. What's happened in the church? Put an arm around a brother and say, oh, I'm praying for you. I love you. Amen? And show that you care. Brotherly love. And the observation is what? Be loyal. Be loyal. So be loyal to people. You don't know how much that means, being loyal. Number three, honor the wishes of others over your own. Honor their wishes over your own. And the text is Romans 12, 10b. In honor, giving preference to one another. Giving preference to one another. listen to someone else's opinion. Men, we have a hard time listening to our wives. I read as a speech pathologist, I often ask patients to tell me a personal story in order to get them to open up. Here's one man's tale. My friend wanted a boat more than anything in the world, and his wife kept refusing. But he bought one anyway. Mistake. I'll tell you what, he told her. In the spirit of compromise, since I bought the boat, why don't you name it? You know where I'm going with this, right? Being a good sport, she accepted, and when her husband went to the dock for his maiden voyage, he saw the sign of the name of the boat, for sale. Well, that was a mistake. And what is the observation? Surrender your desires. Surrender your desires. Number four. Look for ways to meet needs. Look for ways to meet needs. How can I meet the needs of someone else? Romans 12, 11 through 13. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope. Here's the sermon itself. Patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Look for ways to meet needs. If you have $500,000 in a bank and there is a sister in the church with four little children struggling to send them to school, and you are saying to her, I'm praying for you, you need a wake-up call. How many of you really believe that we are nearing Canaan Shore? This is it. Countdown to the end. I'd love to tell you that I believe 2010 is going to be great. We're going to have great opportunities. My friend, where we are headed will demand a faith that some of us do not now have. That's why I need the church. That's why you need the church. Look for ways to meet needs. Not lagging behind. Distributing to the needs of the saints. Given to hospitality. Oh, how much we need that. I'm not just praying for you. Can I help you? Have you ever met people in the store? Come on, raise your hand. They will say to you, can I help you? How are things going in your life? Oh, don't ask that unless you want to reply. People use that as a cliche. They don't really want to know all your problems. They're just trying to get you through the line. That's all. Here's the key here. Practice hospitality. Practice hospitality. In other words, go out of your way to be loving and to be kind. Number five, don't overreact when you are hurt. Don't overreact. Romans 12, 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not what? Do not curse them. Bless those. Here's an additional scripture reading in James chapter 3, verses 5 through 12, which I find very interesting. Observation, bless those who curse you. Now listen to this. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. That's the tongue. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird or reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. Now listen to this. Look at it with me. But no man can what? Can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we do what? We curse men who have been made in the similitude or the image of God. Oh, out of the same mouth proceed blessings and curses. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? I love this. This is so true. Can a fig tree, my brother, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. If you're born again, out of your heart proceeds born again things. You are loving. You are kind. You don't talk about people. You don't badmouth them. You're honest. And the observation is, bless those who curse you. Bless those who curse you. That's hard to do. How many of you know that's true? It is. I don't know why people are so mean. I really don't. But some people are just plain mean. The other day, I heard a mother call her daughter, a little 8 or 9 year old girl, a name I could not believe. And this little girl just hung her head in despair. Oh, I wanted to open my mouth, but she might have called me the same name. You see what I'm getting at here? A church will not grow unless it's healthy. Do you agree with that? It will not. It will not grow. Okay, identify number 6 with others in pain and pleasure. In pain and pleasure in our text. You know, it sounds like a basic elementary Bible study, but it's good. Say amen. Amen. It is. It's good. Thank you for saying that. Identify with others in pain and pleasure. When you hurt, brother, who else hurts? I hurt. When you hit the hammer on your thumb, does it hurt? Your whole body aches. If somebody suffers in the church, we suffer. So you identify. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. There are some here who have gone through a terrible year. 2009 was terrible. And my heart goes out to them. I just read of one of our best friends, and we heard about it as well, in Salem. She's back in the hospital. She had a bone marrow transplant. She is not doing well. And I asked her how she was doing, and the other day we sat at lunch together, and she said, Pastor, I'm okay. Her hair has left her. She has this little hat pulled over her head. She's only 55 or 6, I believe. I'm not sure of her age, but the pain that she's going through. And yet, you know what her daughter said? If mama sleeps, she sleeps. She's okay. She just wants to see Jesus. Wants to go home. Can I identify with her pain and pleasure? Especially pain, yes. So you see others as your family. That's the key. You have to see them as your family. If you don't do that, you know, you're never going to make it in life. If you don't see them as your family. Number 7, be a connector with people. What do I mean by that? I mean, get to know them. Be around people. Share Jesus. Get to know them in 2010. Don't stand aloof. Get involved for God. Be a connector. And the Bible says here, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things. But associate with the humble. Do not be wise, what does it say? In your own opinion. That's really good. Oh man, I can connect with people. I don't care if it's a McDonald's or a haircut. Oh, I can connect. This lady's cutting my hair, you know, and her hair is probably 3 shades of purple. Maybe a little red in there too as well. And I'm talking to her and she's cutting my hair and I'm talking about the Lord. And she said, who are you talking about? I said, Jesus. And she's cutting a little more and the scissors start to slow down just a little bit. But my wife advised me one time to be careful how long I talked or I wouldn't have any hair left. So I did kind of speed up the conversation a little. So as you can see this morning, I still have some hair left after that. But you know what you do? You go back again, and you go back again and again, and you talk to them about God, and you begin to be involved in their life. How are your children doing, and your grandchildren? And how's mother now? And oh my, you get so involved and connected with them that something's happening to you as well as to them. Something is happening. I don't want to neglect saying this, because it would be disingenuous of me not to say this. And it's not toward you directly, but toward us as a group. If statistics are right, what Ellen White said is correct, and the Bible is correct, somebody here is not going to walk streets of gold. And it will not be because God didn't want them to walk streets of gold. I had no time. You don't understand, Pastor. I don't have time. I'm just too busy. I don't have the time. And Jesus said, I never knew you, because you and I never really got this thing going in life. Can you track with what I'm saying? And he says it with tears. I once said to my brother, I can look at 30 years of ministry at a church and see people and know if they don't turn their lives around where they're headed. Now, what can you do? What can you say to enliven them and have them become excited about the Word of God again? Well, you have to be careful, or you're preaching at them. Who do you think you are? Well, I'm the preacher. Oh, well, we would expect you to say that. All right? My heart aches for some people. Let me establish a fact by asking you a question. Do we not all want to go home? Amen. Am I determined to be with Jesus? Raise your hand. I'm determined. Would you say to the Lord today, if there's anything between my soul and the Savior, oh Lord Jesus, take it all away. Amen. Oh Lord Jesus, fill my life. I want to connect with people. I want you to connect with me. Philippians chapter 2. I want you to take your Bible there. It's up here as well. But turn to Philippians chapter 2 with me. I want you to read verses 19 and 20. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. I want to know how you're doing, writes Paul. And then he continues, for I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. You know what that's saying? Paul had so connected with Timothy, they had the same mind. Did you catch that? You do not have to like everybody, but you need to love everybody. And there are some people you like being around. Raise your hand if that's true. You like being around them. Do you like being around Jesus? Think about that. Do you really like being around Jesus? Be open and accepting. That's the key. Open and accepting. I accept, Lord. I'm open and I'm accepting. Number 8, be complimentary. I love this. Repay no evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Romans 12, 17. And the beautiful thing is, complimentary. Be complimentary. And that's to say this. Let me give you an illustration of being complimentary. You walk up and you say, Brother Post, oh my friend, it's so good to see you here. I haven't seen you since Newport Richey days. Or was it University Church? University Church, how long? Years and years. You know, you haven't lost any hair since then either. You look good. You look good, Brother Post. And I'm so glad to find you in the faith. Oh my, that's beautiful. I want you to take a second, turn to the person beside you and give them a compliment. I want you to do that right now. Give them a compliment. If you told your wife that she looks great, she will remember that. My wife would have to tell you I compliment her. I do. And what's the observation? Treat people with respect. Treat them with respect. Have respect for people. Number 9, determine what is worth, and this is so important, what is worth dying for. There are some issues in life that are not worth dying for. The color of your child's hair, whether they have an earring in their nose, it's not worth dying over. Number 1, she's going to grow a little older and the purple won't look as good. And she's going to tell you so. I had a young lady, her name was Brenda. She had a huge ring in her nose, and she stood in front of me one day with all these rings and everything and said, "Hi." I was at Arizona Family Center, a ministry we had planted for unchurched people. She said, "How are you?" And I looked at her, and I kept looking at the wrong thing, the ring. And I said, "I'm doing well." Well, it was not long after that, she walked up and did the same thing again. She said, "Pastor Gale, do you notice anything different?" And I'm thinking, what's different about Brenda? And I said, "No." She said, "Duh. The ring is gone." I said, "Brenda." She said, "I'm going to La Sierra." I said, "No kidding." "Oh, yes. I've been coming here, Pastor Gale, and my life is changing. I'm meeting Jesus Christ. And I want to be like him. I want to be like him." Complimentary. Treat people with respect. What's worth dying for? Well, there are some things that are not worth dying over. And those are some of the issues. Whether your child wears this, wears that, eats this, eats that. Number 1, you are not your child's Savior. Jesus Christ is. And he loves your child more than you because he created your child. Do you agree with that? So here's the point. Keep peace when you can and take a stand when the issues are important. Keep peace when you can. Take a stand on the issues that are biblical. There are some issues you need to take a stand on. You say, "Here's who I am, and that's where I'm going to, you know. If at all possible, live at peace." There are some people you cannot live at peace with. They will not allow you to live at peace with them. And they will constantly bring up something that offended them in their life with you. You cannot live at peace with them. You know, what you need to do is go on. And realize Jesus didn't please everybody. Okay, last, as we wind down, let the Lord defend you. Let the Lord defend you. Stop trying to defend yourself. And the text is Romans 12, 19 through 21. This is such a power-packed message. It really is. "Beloved, you do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is what?'" Say it with me. "Mine. I will..." Oh, you mean God's going to take care of this? These people who have badmouthed me? Oh, yes. He will. "I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him." Well, I'm supposed to feed people that are not in love with me, but I will give them and help them, and I will allow God to defend me. Would you say amen to that? God will defend me. And here's the observation down at the end. God is our judge. We are to love as a principle and not as an emotion. Oh, that's good. Love as a principle. 10 things present in a life ready to face. Oh, 10. You know, I'm ready to face it. How about you? I'm ready. I am ready. As we wind this down, I've asked Glenda to play some music, and I want you to hear a refreshing take on 1 Corinthians 13. I want you just to hear this. I could not do this with Winston Church. By the way, Winston's beginning to grow. Amen. Praise God. Younger people coming, and that's nice. Amen? Okay, here we are. "Although I can speak the language intelligently on dozens of subjects, if I don't have enough love to keep from gossiping or putting down others, I'm just making so much useless noise, I'm being downright destructive. And though I read the Bible regularly, and even though parts of it by heart, I know. And though I pray daily and have a lot of faith and other spiritual gifts, if I don't have enough love to sometimes sacrifice some of my personal desires for others' sake, then all of my spirituality amounts to what? Nothing. Although I work two jobs to provide for my family, and though I give to charity and volunteer for every community project that comes up, if I don't show love and kindness to those I live and work with, all my hard work and self-sacrificing are worthless. Love has a long, hard, frustrating day at the office. It doesn't get snappy and short-tempered. Love is happy for the other guy when he gets all the breaks. Love doesn't have to drive the flashiest car, live in the biggest house, or have all the latest gadgets. Love doesn't always have to be the boss or have the last word. Love isn't rude or crude, isn't selfish, doesn't gripe, guilt trip, or pressure others to get what it wants. Love is too busy being concerned about the needs of others to spend much time worrying about its own. Love doesn't freak out when things don't go its way. Love is quick to believe the best about people and slow to believe the rest. Love hates to hear gossip and instead wants only to talk about others' good qualities and the good that they've done. Love knows that what it listens to, watches, or reads will affect its attitudes and actions and thereby have an effect on others. So it's careful about how it spends its time. Love is flexible, takes everything in stride, and can handle whatever comes its way. It's always ready to give others the benefit of the doubt. Say amen. Looks for the best in them. Love wants to see others reach their full potential and does all it can to make that happen. Never runs out of patience, even with those who are slow to get with the program or to do their share. Love doesn't keep looking at its watch when others are talking. Got it? Love never fails. I fail others, and others fail me. We can all be mistaken, misguided, confused at times. Our words and deeds often fall short, and our bright ideas don't always play out the way we want or expect them to. We're frail, fallible, and often foolish, and our understanding of the world we live in, not to mention the world to come, is only partial at best. But when God's Spirit of love lives in us, that changes everything. We're really just children when it comes to practicing real love, but God can help us outgrow our childish ways. Without Him, we're clueless when it comes to love and the other things that matter most in life. But when we live in His kingdom, the kingdom of heaven that Jesus said is even now within us, we can see things as He does, get our priorities straight, pull out the stops, and live and love to the full. And listen to verse 13. There are lots of nice things in life and lots of good things, but none are as good or as important as love. Been a good Sabbath morning, hasn't it? Well, a little bit after, not much. It's been good being here to talk about God. My prayer is that Sutherland Church, a year from now, will not have enough chairs and a sanctuary to even hold people. Because it's my desire that this church become a church ready to meet Jesus Christ. That's my desire. I want you to love me and I want to love you back. I make a covenant to you, I will not talk about you. Will you covenant you will not talk about me? Will you make a covenant with God? I will be honest with you, God. I will be faithful in my tithe, my offerings. I will be honest. God says I'm always faithful to you. Let's stand together as we have our prayer. Our Heavenly Father, what a great privilege it has been to be here this morning. We could have been elsewhere. We could be doing other things. But nothing, God, nothing matches meeting you here at church. You are the greatest God, the greatest lover. It amazes us that you keep on loving when we are so unlovely. Oh, sweet, sweet Jesus, as we prepare to wander through the desert of 2010, we pray that you will take care of our needs, Help us to help others. May we become a light and salt. And may our lives begin to live up to our calling as Christ followers. Be with every person represented here and every person who could not come. May Sutherland Church be indeed a haven of rest for weary people and a place where you can hear the truth of God without compromise. I pray this in Jesus' name. And the whole church said, amen. Amen. Did you enjoy coming today? Yes. Is God good? Yes. Amen. Turn to your partner or person beside you and say, God is good.